Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Vladimir Zelensky's five-year term as president of Ukraine formally ended in May of 2024. Now, as the country is under martial law following the illegal Russian invasion, he remains in place until a new leader is elected. But pressure is now emerging from Moscow and Washington. The US President Donald Trump has even echoed the Kremlin rhetoric of calling for Ukraine to hold elections despite the ongoing war. It's also been speculated that President Zelensky could even step down as part of a potential peace agreement. For his part, the former actor and comedian turned politician has said he sees his job as being done when Ukraine becomes a member of NATO. Well, Graham Finlay is with me in the studio now, and we're going to have a look at those waiting in the wings if President Zelensky does step aside. So Graham, of course, from the School of Politics and International Relations at UCD, we should say the narrative around President Zelensky's position, it appears to have been developing for a while, particularly after the first round of talks in Riyadh between the United States and Russia last month, when Ukraine very famously wasn't at the table. So where do we stand?
Well, we've seen this idea that Zelensky's a corrupt dictator as a main Russian line of talking points for quite some time, and is one of the justifications for invading Ukraine. And it was in the fringier elements of the Republican Party, the really isolationist elements of the Republican Party for some time. But it's gone mainstream with Donald Trump, famously, both in the Oval Office and afterwards. And it's going to, you know, with these talks going on between Russia and the United States, and we're all waiting to see what emerges from this phone call.
Yeah.
It oscillates between Trump saying the most incredible things about Zelensky and how he, you know, can't work with him, you know, to switching on a dime to talk, say the same things about Russia and to threaten sanctions. Today, it's more pro-Russian. You know, he's talking about recognizing Russia's entitlement to Crimea. All of this must make things very, very difficult for the Ukrainians. But one thing it seems to have done is actually bolster Zelensky in Ukraine. His actual popularity is up.
So his support levels are very high. They're at around 70-odd percent now.
There's various polls. Now, there's a good poll which has been done regularly in Kyiv itself. The Economist recently had a poll. So the immediate polls around when Trump first started calling out Zelensky as a dictator had him around 57%. The Economist poll has him at 70%. This was done after some of this had a time to percolate. So it's clear that Trump's interventions have actually bolstered Zelensky's standing in Ukraine, so much so that he was poised to take second place before the intervention. And now it looks like he would actually win first place if there was a presidential election.
Right. Now, if President Zelensky rejects this deal, which we are expecting the details of to emerge today, where does that leave him? Because Washington and Moscow could turn around and say, well, he's not a legitimate leader who no longer represents Ukraine. It's a dangerous moment for President Zelensky.
It is. It's not clear how much they can pressure him into having new elections. Those would be very difficult. But it is clear that he's prepared to step down if it becomes necessary for a peace. And that would be an overt interference by the United States in Ukraine's democratic processes. Nobody wants an election in Ukraine. It's, you know, 60-something percent of Ukrainians who could be polled, you know, did not want elections. Some accept at all, right, or only during an enduring ceasefire. But only 10% or something like that would like to have them immediately.
So can we talk about that? Because, you know, it has been said, oh, he's a dictator because he hasn't had elections. Now, we know that they are at war with Russia. But could elections be held in Ukraine right now?
Yes, But they would have less credibility than the elections which elected Zelensky in the first place, right? Or the parliament in the first place, because they need to have parliamentary elections as well. Because of the difficulties of organizing them, you would have very bad basic electoral mechanisms like voter rolls. People, millions of people have been displaced, and so they would have to be registered wherever they are. Millions of people are abroad, including in Russia. You know, 6 million people, 5 million people are under direct Russian occupation. So it would be very unrepresentative of the Ukrainian people. And Russia has been calling for elections for ages because it knows it can exploit that by saying, you know, if there is division, if Zelensky gets a weak result, or even if, you know, just more people vote for somebody else than Zelensky himself in a multi-candidate thing, very, very easily happens. You know, Russia can use that to push the line that he's not legitimate. So it would undermine the legitimacy of the government. That's the main concern on the part of the Ukrainians. There are serious logistical difficulties, as I mentioned. You know, voting in trenches, voting in schools gives Russia a lot of targets for their missiles and drones. And I think Ukrainians feel like they don't want to be exposed to that kind of danger. We're talking about people who are suffering rocket and drone attacks on a very regular, almost daily basis. And then finally, there's the cost. You know, Ukrainians want to devote all of their resources to the war effort. And a presidential election could cost $200 million. That's what it's been calculated at. Parliamentary elections could be $130 million. They want that to go to the front. They don't want to be spending it on an election process, which is really, really complicated. They've looked into e-voting, but that is supremely hackable by the Russians as well. So for all these reasons, it just wouldn't help the legitimacy of the Ukrainian government.
And what about President Zelensky himself and what he wants to be? I mean, he didn't want to be a wartime leader, but is he somebody who would want to stay and help them transition and rebuild?
It's really kind of hard to read. He has offered to step down for peace, or if, as you said, Ukraine becomes a member of NATO with those protections. He campaigned on a peace platform. He's a Russian speaker. He, you know, won a huge landslide victory over the former president Poroshenko on that basis, you know, and also anti-corruption. Everyone in Ukraine is against corruption and is accused of corruption. But he, you know, it's really hard to tell. In my experience, most politicians believe that they're the only ones who can save their country. And in the case of Zelensky, there's a case for that. It seems that he would even contemplate stepping down suggests that he might not want to stay in power forever. Mm-hmm. And again, there's no guarantee that he'd be reelected. His predecessor, Churchill, is often held up. And he held elections in July of 1945 while the war was still going on, but was winding down. And he lost the Labour Party in a landslide. Right. So nothing is guaranteed in politics.
Right. Well, let's talk about some of the possible alternatives, those who may throw their hats in the ring. The mayor of Kyiv, the former boxing champion Vitaly Klitschko, he is not a fan of President Zelensky and would like the job for himself.
Yes, and he's threatened to run in the past for the presidency, but he ended up running for the mayor of Kyiv. He is another person who is likely to stay in office longer than his term because they can't have local elections either. And of course, he's probably one of the most famous Ukrainians before the war as a tremendous boxer, along with his brother. He is very much a critic of Zelensky and is probably one of the few candidates we're going to mention who's prepared to run. And he's very critical of what he sees as Zelensky's authoritarian tendencies. Because, again, one of the things which the U.S. and the Russians and, well, some elements of the U.S. and the Russians talk about is banning certain parties or kicking some media channels off the main media platform in Ukraine. And those parties were banned in the very first stages of the war, and they were all very small, except for the one which is that of key Russian allies in Ukraine. So yes, Klitschko is very critical of Zelensky. I'm sure he'd take a chance on it, but he doesn't have much of a chance since he's polling around 2%.
Oh, okay, very low. But he is pro-European. From our point of view, where does he stand on the general issues around Ukraine?
Yeah, almost all of these politicians are pro-European. The pro-Russian parties The struggle in Ukraine since 2004-05, when they had their Orange Revolution, which was an overt uprising against Russian dominance, has been a struggle between Russian pro-Russian candidates and pro-European, pro-Western candidates. All of the pro-Russian candidates have, for the most part, fled or even, you know, been exiled and stripped of their Ukrainian citizenship in some cases. But also, even the most pro-Russian parties, which are still allowed to operate inside Ukraine, have changed their tune in the face of the invasion.
Right.
You know, people like the mayor of Odessa or Russian-speaking regions, which were being very, very, you know, on the Russian side before the big invasion of 2022.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of the other possible candidates then. Zelensky, who was the Iron General, he was an ally of Zelensky. He was commander-in-chief of the armed forces. Not anymore. Do you think he's a likely candidate?
He is a likely candidate. And Zelensky is probably the most interesting of the candidates and the biggest threat to Zelensky. He was leading Zelensky in the polls before the Oval Office confrontation, and he would still be the strongest second candidate of someone who's likely to run. He was commander-in-chief of the armed forces. He fell out with Zelensky over how to progress the war, but also he gave an interview where he said that the situation at the front was basically a stalemate, which Zelensky didn't like because he thought it would lead to fewer arms shipments from the West and less support. And again, it's another one of these questions about what Zelensky says as part of ongoing negotiations and morale and what the actual situation might be. He was then transferred to be the ambassador to the UK, which is an interesting transfer for someone you're firing as the head commander in chief. But he has a lot of support. He is interested in running, even though he says he won't run. He is interested in running. Everyone thinks he would run if there was an election to be held.
So Zelensky is keeping him close-ish.
Yeah. And again, I think it's military figures who have the best chance. All the civilian figures, for the most part, have said that they wouldn't run and they don't want elections. Him and then someone who gets talked about but has not said anything is the famously taciturn Kirill Budinov, head of intelligence. He's very popular in Ukraine. He has shown no interest in running for president, but he's also one of the candidates they put out there in the polls to see if there's somebody who could challenge Zelensky.
And what about this chocolate king, Petro Poroshenko?
Yeah, Zelensky defeated him massively in the last elections, and his predecessor, he made a ton of money in candy and sweets, but in lots and lots of other industries as well. He has lost a lot of his industries to the Russian occupation, which have been seized by Russia. And again, a very strong pro-European politician. Accusations of corruption surrounding his inner circle and himself dogged his last term in office, which was part of Zelensky's landslide. And he, interestingly, again, he said he has no interest in running. He doesn't think there should be elections. He did say there might be elections in October and was sort of roundly turned on by the government for predicting
suggesting
that.
Suggesting it, yeah.
But he, interestingly, was placed under very serious sanctions along with a number of oligarchs, including an oligarch who was responsible for Zelensky's rise, who funded his campaign, as part of a sort of de-oligarchization of Ukraine, which was quite recent. And these are sanctions which would prevent Poroshenko from moving money abroad, from paying dividends, from buying land, from engaging in trade agreements, and from moving himself out of Ukraine. So these are quite significant sanctions to try and reduce the influence of oligarchs in Ukrainian politics.
We'll try and squeeze one more candidate in, Yulia Tymoshenko. People will know the name, of course. She has been involved in politics for a very long time, but never quite managed to become president. Does she want to?
Of course, I think, again, all politicians do. She was also very associated with the people who remember her very conservative hairstyle from the Orange
plaits.
Revolution. These plaits. Yeah, my hairdressing knowledge isn't so great, but a very distinctive hairstyle. And she is another oligarch, a gas oligarch in this case, who's become a pro-European reformer of long standing. A lot of the wind seems to have gone out of her sails as a politician lately. Again, there were accusations of corruption, but those were mostly the imposition of sanctions and jailing of her by Yanukovych, who eventually defeated her in the election before the Poroshenko election, with you know, what was seen as a free and fair process. So she also has denied being interested in running and doesn't think there should be elections. But she is polling quite low, you know, in the low single figures.
So nobody is interested until an election is called. And then we can expect that a lot more people will be.
And then
interested.
Anything could happen, because as Winston Churchill found out, you know, just having a great wartime leader reputation doesn't get you victory when people are turning their thoughts to scarcity and hardship and rebuilding.
Well, look, as you said at the beginning, so much depends on that phone call between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, which we're expecting to happen in the coming hours. What will we hear afterwards? We just don't know. Graeme, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much. Graeme Finley, School of Politics and International Relations at UCD.